Today on this edition of My Car Guru, we are going to be talking about the difference between wholesale and retail. No, seriously, folks. This is Lenny Lawson, the Car Guru, and we really do need to kind of talk about this a little bit. I remember once in time when wholesale used to mean cheaper and retail meant to be more expensive. And that was to the final consumer. When you sold something at retail, you were selling it to the end user. And those two prices were different because the difference between wholesale and retail allowed for profit or a margin for the vendor. And so I'm going to talk about this as it relates to cars because that's the world I live in. We had a auto auction yesterday in Johnson City. There is a new auto auction up there. Dealers only. Sorry, you can't go. Well, you might be able to sneak in. But the auto auction is for dealers who are supposedly out there to buy vehicles for wholesale. Well, 2 years ago, wholesale was wholesale, meaning that you could buy something cheaper and sell it for, and have a margin and mark it up. And you could pretty much go by the book values. If you look at Kelley Blue Book, for example, you could look at trade-in versus retail or private party, and there would be a difference there. You could look at Black Book or NADA Book or whatever else, or Edmunds. You know, there's so many different places where you can gather information about vehicle values. But that's become blurred now. You know, dealers that are going to auctions like me cannot believe the prices that we're having to pay for stuff. And then we have to bring it back. We have to do an inspection on the vehicle, at least at Gateway we do. We inspect it. We fix anything that's wrong with it. If the brakes are more than half worn out, we replace them. Same with the tires. We check all the fluids and all that. We recondition the vehicle. You know, if it has a star in the windshield, we fix it. If the headlights are cloudy, we fix it. If it's got a dings around it, then we call the dent doctor and have all that repaired. By the time we get on the lot, we've got another $1,500 in it, and we're expected to be able to mark that up and to sell it to somebody. Well, you can. You know, if they're a cash buyer, they can pretty much just come in and do whatever they want. But if they're financing it, it's a different story because the banks haven't caught up to the new realities in the car business that what used to be retail is now wholesale. And retail is undefined. It is so high that, you know, there's no books that can keep up with it because of the massive increase in used car values. So banks are having a hard time because what are they worried about? Well, they want to make sure that you have equity in whatever you're buying. Of course, a lot of them don't care. A lot of them are just so desperate to loan money and put some paper on the books, as they call it, that they're willing to loan way over book value to certain people. Now, of course, you got to have a pretty good beacon score to pull that off, high credit score. But still, they want to loan money. But the problem is that their model doesn't work anymore. They're asking people to pay more money down in some cases. And a lot of folks don't have it. You know, they don't have it to pay down. So what's a vehicle buyer supposed to do? Well, I think one of the best options, if you can have confidence in the dealership, if you know the people, you've done business with them, you know, they're not total strangers to you, then let them do the shopping for you online to find out which lender is going to loan the most or the amount of money that you need them to loan on a particular vehicle, even if it isn't in the book, and let the dealer go to work for you because dealers have some sway over lenders, you know, because like if you come in, I could literally send your loan request to probably 30 different institutions at the same time. Now, you wouldn't want me to do that. It'd be foolish for me to do that because a lot of them just don't fit the type of vehicle that you might be buying. It's not unusual for us to, you know, if we're selling somebody a new Ford, we'll send it to Ford Credit. We'll send it to, especially if they have a low rate finance or a low finance rate, then we'll send it to, you know, a couple of the credit unions and maybe a bank, another bank that has a good low rate, and we'll just see what happens. Now, is that like four different credit pulls on you? Yeah, but it really doesn't hurt your credit. It counts as one, lot of people think, well, if a bunch of people pull my credit, if you go shopping from one dealership to another dealership within a confined period of time, and they all pull your credit, it's not going to hurt your credit because the credit unions have built that in. Now, if every month you're going out shopping for cars and people are pulling your credit, that doesn't look good. That will hurt your score. That counts as multiple inquiries on your credit, and that's something that you don't want. But don't worry if you go into a dealership and they pull your credit at several different institutions. So if you get turned down by, let's say that we call it into four different places, and two of them, it just doesn't fit their model. They're going to send you a rejection letter to your house. Even if you get Ford Motor Credit to buy it or Eastman or whatever, and they buy it and you're driving off, you're going to get a letter in the mail saying, you know, we're sorry that your credit was not approved at our bank. And you may think, well, I didn't even know it was sent to your bank. We have some customers call us back and said, what's up with this? And we try to, you know, make sure that they understand that that's not an issue. It won't hurt their credit, but that's just the way dealerships work. Has that happened to you? I mean, have you had multiple pulls on your credit and you get angry and call the dealership? Well, it's not unusual. Don't get mad. That's just what dealers do. Now, you can specifically say, don't shotgun my credit out there to people. I want to finance at Eastman, or I want to finance it, you know, at Ford Motor Credit. And that's the only place I want you to send it into. If they turn me down, then we'll send it to somebody else. You can do it that way, but you have to dictate that to the dealership, because if you don't, they're going to send it to multiple institutions and see who gives them the best call. What does the best call mean? Well, it's the lowest rate for you, and it's also sometimes it may be the lowest rate and the highest fee to the dealership, because dealerships get paid for arranging financing. It doesn't cost you any more money when the dealership gets paid. It's kind of like a finder's fee that we get from the bank. The bank says, if you send us this customer at our regular 3.75 or 2.75 rate, then we will pay you $300 or $400 to do that. And sometimes it's more than that. I mean, reserve, that's what they call it. They call it finance reserve. Sometimes it can be a significant part of the profitability of a dealership is the finance reserve, the profit that's made on extended service contracts, mistakenly called extended warranties. You know, prepaid maintenance, there's not much profit there because, you know, people can do the math and it doesn't make sense to pay a whole lot more for prepaid maintenance when you can just go ahead and pay one at a time. Gap insurance, there's profit made on that. There may be, I'll tell you where the big profit is on some of these jicky other things that dealers sell, like etching, you know, window etch and certain types of paint protection and stuff like that. Don't ever buy that stuff. Just say, no thanks. I don't need that. But, gap insurance is pretty good. I mean, if you are financing way more, you know, in this particular market, though, as hot as used cars are, I don't know if I'd buy gap insurance. I'd have to think long and hard about that. You know, the market is not going to be as strong as it is right now on used cars forever. We don't know when it's going to turn, but it's going to turn, and it's going to go the opposite direction. You know, just for goodness sake, just match your payment to your budget. Just make sure that you're not biting off more than you can chew and feel comfortable. You shouldn't have to struggle every month to make a car payment. If you do, you bought too much car. You bought too much junk in the finance office. You paid two times what you should have for an extended warranty because you didn't look at what you were paying for the warranty. You didn't look at what they were charging you for gap. You didn't pay attention to what they were charging you for prepaid maintenance. You were just so excited about getting the car. And that man in there, or that woman, just kept shoving paperwork across the desk, and you just signed it. They said, sign here, sign here, sign here. And you just signed it. You didn't read anything. Shame on you, right? Well, you may be right. They shouldn't have overcharged you for all that. No, you're definitely right. They shouldn't have, but they did, and you didn't catch it. You signed for it. Now, you try to get that unwound. Good luck, because the judge is going to say, Mr. Johnson, when they were shoving all this paperwork in your face, did you bother to read what you were signing? You said, no, Your Honor. Case dismissed. That's the way it works. All right, we're going to take our first break, and we'll be back here in just a minute. I'm on Bring a Trailer right now as we speak, and I am trying to buy a 1997 Ford F-350 XLT Crew Cab Power Stroke 4x4. Probably 2 years ago, this truck was, it's got 99,000 miles on it. It's probably a $25,000 to $26,000 truck. The bidding, I've got 9 minutes to go. The bidding's already up to $40,250. And do you believe I'm still thinking about buying it? I don't know. I think it'll bring 45. It could break a record. It's a long bed. That's the only thing I don't like about it. It has a bed cover. It's a very versatile truck. You know, the 7.3, that was the engine that was developed with in conjunction with Navistar. It used to be called International. And so they developed this engine with Ford, and it was a winner. It was a great engine. But then the federal government imposed some pretty strict emission requirements on diesel engines, and the stuff that was coming out the tailpipe was unacceptable. So Ford came out with the 6.0-liter engine. They went from 7.3 to 6.0. You talk about a disaster. That was all of the EGR problems that they had with them, and it was bad. And then they did their best to correct that with the 6.4-liter, and it wasn't much better. And so Ford pretty much destroyed their reputation on diesel engines until they came out with the one they have now, which is 6.7 Power Stroke, and it's been a home run. We're excited about that particular truck. It's been great. I've owned several of them. But I don't know. We'll see what happens here. We got 7 minutes to go. So isn't this exciting? Just to sit here and watch me buy a truck. I'll do this on the side while I'm talking. Okay. You got to be careful. You know, with these auctions, it is so easy to let your mind run away with how good owning something is going to feel, and then when you actually get it home, it doesn't feel that good. And then you're thinking, what did I do? Of course, with Bring a Trailer. Or any kind of auction, if you go to an auto auction, you got to pay a seller's or a buyer's fee. And with Bring a Trailer, it is 5%. Oh, I'm out. The truck just hit $45,750. That's a lot of money for that truck. Somebody's really wanted it, though. I bought a 99 the other day for $41,000, but it's a dually five-speed Power Stroke with 39,000 miles on it. It's on the way back from New Jersey right now, so I'm anxious to see it. Oh, I mentioned the other day about PPF, paint protection film. We were talking about that versus and ceramic coating, you know, those two different types of things that people do to their vehicles. I went and had my Corvette examined yesterday and wanted to find out what they were going to charge me to do just the front part of the car. Okay, get this, from the front leading edge of the doors forward, base of the windshield forward. So that covers the hood and the front fenders and the front bumper. $2,000 to cover it with plastic. Now, you know, I don't like rock chips. And you know, if I'm reselling that car, I guess there's value there. I haven't decided if I'm going to do that or not. That's a pretty big investment for some industrial strength saran wrap. I know it's more than that, but still. I said, what do you charge to do a whole car? She says $6,000 to do a whole car. I said, do a lot of people do that? And she said, oh, yeah. Yeah, people buy cars all the time and spend another $6,000 on that, and then they'll put ceramic coating on top of their paint protection film. And so anyway, that's one of the many ways that people waste money. But I waste money, too, so who am I to talk? 2022 Ford Mustang Mach-E. This is the electric vehicle from Ford. We had one as a demo. We couldn't sell it I think we had to keep that car for 4 months. I really enjoyed driving that car. It convinced me that an electric car can be a real car. I mean, when I first got in it, and drove it down the road and felt the acceleration and listened to the, you don't really hear much. I guess I listened to the quiet, except for the whine of the motor. There's a little and a little bit of road noise as well. The tires. Tires are really hard because they want to minimize rolling resistance. I was a little disappointed, though, with the range, however. Ford just came out with their new range estimates for the 2022 model. And for the extended range rear-wheel drive model, it's 303 miles. They actually increased it by 3 miles over the one last year. So I know the people that bought theirs last year said, doggone it. The premium ER all-wheel drive, or ER stands for extended range, not emergency room, it's 277 miles. Folks, that just doesn't seem like enough to me to spend $50,000 on a car. And here I am selling them. But I'm not selling many of them because I can't get them. I can't get anything for stock. If you want an electric car, unless you buy a used Tesla or a used Nissan Leaf or a used, what is it called? Chevrolet Volt, I think, was their electric little Econo box. You're going to have to wait. You're going to have to order it. And, you know, we're encouraging orders right now on everything. I mean, if you think that you want a, let's say that you're thinking you might be getting in the market, there are a lot of dealers that will go ahead and let you order a vehicle because it's the only way they can get one right now. They can't get anything for stock. That's okay. That's an exaggeration. They can get some things for stock, but not many. We can get F-150s for stock, Edges, a few Explorers. I'm just talking about on the Ford side. F-250s are like dodo birds, extinct. No, they're built. They're out there somewhere. I mean, the factories are building them, but I don't know where they're going. F-350s, 450s, they are all extremely scarce. But, you know, some of these vehicles, these electric vehicles are wonderful, but you might want to go ahead and order one. So what they'll do is they'll let you order it. I'll finish my point. They'll let you order the vehicle, but you don't have to take it when it comes in. If they ask you to leave a deposit, just say, nah, I don't want to leave a deposit. And they probably really don't care. But, you know, for example, at my dealership, anybody can order anything as long as it's not really weird and we won't require a deposit. You can, and sometimes you can get actually an ordering incentive. And any rebates that are in place right now, you're going to get them, you know, whenever that thing comes in. We just don't know when that will be. It could be, you know, 10 weeks. It could be 10 months. That's just the market. I was watching a dealer on an advertisement for a dealer the other day, and he said, if you order a vehicle, we can get it for you quicker than stock. See, I don't know what do you know what that means? I don't know how to interpret that. You mean you can get one for me quicker than I could buy one that's sitting on your lot? Is that what you mean? So anyway, I love that guy, but anyway, that was not very well phrased, I don't think. Sometimes we dealers screw up in our phraseology. You'll just have to forgive us. Okay, let's take our last break, and we'll be back in just a minute. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but sometimes when you're on a two-lane road and there's a car coming in your direction, and even when they put the headlights on dim, it's still blinding. I mean, you saw them in the distance go to their low beams, but it still is painful. Well, that could be changing for the better here soon. Finally, Congress overrode, I guess, some regulations with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and is allowing automakers to make adaptive headlights standard equipment, which means that if you're going down the road and you put your lights on dim, like I said, it's still too bright, it will allow the right headlight to stay focused on the road. The left headlight will actually turn down and actually point down so it won't be shining in the eyes of the oncoming drivers. Now, won't that be nice? Now, what am I driving right now? Oh, I was driving my wife's Edge, and this is a new 2022 Edge, and it has adaptive headlights. So what happens is when I turn my steering wheel, the headlights turn and point in the direction where my steering wheels turn. Now, they do not do this winking thing that NHTSA has allowed because the law said that the lights had to be adjusted at a certain height, and you weren't able to drop one or both of the lights. So that's going to be coming. And so you can thank, I guess, the infrastructure bill did that. Maybe that's one good thing to come out of that. Well, we're going to get some new roads, bridges, stuff like that. So maybe something else good will come out of it. You know, if you're looking at cars, look at the standard equipment list on the window sticker. I don't know if you've looked at a window sticker lately, but there's a big section up at the top that has the standard equipment, and then the options are listed below. You know, some of this safety equipment is becoming standard, but some of it's not. I mean, make sure that you're getting blind spot monitoring. Cross traffic alert is another one. You know, just warns you if it sees something coming, from the side at a rapid speed, and it doesn't think that you're exactly tuned into it. Of course, it can't read your mind, but it just is monitoring speed with the cameras. And also, these adaptive headlights are great. So some of these things that are not standard on a lot of cars, especially on low-end cars, they may be standard on high-end cars, but they may be options, and it might be something you want to check the box on if you're actually ordering a vehicle. Well, thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru, and I will be back with you tomorrow morning.